pretty big story that's broken, and I say around the world. I mean, the people affected largely are American, but the reality is when you talk about the internet that it's happening everywhere. It's been called the biggest celebrity hacking scandal in history. And basically, it amounts to a series of explicit photos that show more than 100 female stars. And they're everywhere on the internet at the moment, as is the nature of it. What interests me about this story, though, is the implication. Because these pictures were allegedly retrieved due to an iCloud leak that allowed celebrities' phones and computers to be hacked. Now, look, I admit, I only have the vaguest idea how the iCloud work. I figure at some point in time, internet speeds got quick enough that we could suddenly retrieve data from our own hard drives as quickly as we could from hard drives right around the world. And as such, we started storing data everywhere. Apple led the charge with its iCloud, and often without us knowing, it must be said, data and backups of all sorts of things were being stored in this cloud. And I always think to myself, and I imagine a lot of people are also in this boat, you kind of feel like you're not making any use of it. I mean, I don't consciously attempt to store things anywhere other than what I can physically see in front of me. But every now and then, and you'll know this, if you've got an iPhone or an Apple device especially, and I suspect too on smartphones, you'll get a little message that pops up and says, hey, you haven't backed up to the cloud in 5 days. And I always think to myself, well, I don't ever remember backing up to the cloud. But clearly there is some data that's going off somewhere at some point in time. So if all, or at least some of our data is being stored remotely, and the hacking of private pictures of Hollywood stars like Jennifer Lawrence from where they store their data on the cloud reveals the fallibility of that process, well then, what does that mean for the rest of us? Our IT expert, Stil Gehring, has been interviewed more times than the Treasurer following budget day today, but we appreciate him taking some time out to speak to us. Stil Gehring, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Will. It's always a big story when you get a few movie stars involved.
It is. It's amazing how suddenly it gathers everyone's attention, especially if they're taking photos of clothless as well, I suspect.
The nudity helps.
That's right. What do we actually know about how these images were acquired?
We don't actually know very much at all for certain, but there's certainly a lot of informed speculation. And it's probably to do with Apple's iCloud system because, that's one of the more popular ones that people are storing photos on from their iPhones, and B, there was a known security problem which has recently been made public and then dealt with. Mm. Apple hasn't made an official statement on that yet. But we know there was at least one way of getting in there.
Is it a little bit early to be reading into what that might mean about the fallibility of the cloud? I mean, are we suddenly seeing it as something that's significantly less than impregnable?
Oh, no, not at all. This is a timely reminder. In the last couple of years, we've seen so much hype about the cloud as a magic solution to so many IT problems. And I suppose I'll say quickly what the cloud actually is.
Yeah.
There. It's the idea that instead of the prime source of your, you know, storing your data being the computer in front of you, you're actually using the computers in data centers belonging to a cloud provider. And the important thing is that you don't have to be part of consciously managing that process, that automatically more storage is made available, or more computing power. And, you know, if you run a little website and you suddenly become a huge hit, go viral, as the young folks say, and you know you've got a million people suddenly looking at your video, you don't have to think about suddenly adding all that infrastructure. It's just automatically provided. And for businesses using cloud services instead of their own server computers, it means that they're essentially paying for what they use rather than having to buy a lot of, you know, capital expense in-house. So the advantages are that then it can be easily stored anywhere, or easily accessed anywhere, I should say, from any device. It just connects over the internet to the cloud storage, and so the photo you took on your iPhone is soon available to look at on your laptop computer. Or the music collection that you were listening to at home can now be available to you wherever you go. Businesses don't have to go to the office to access their business data. They can be, you know, anywhere, just from an iPad on the road or their phone or whatever it might be. So this, and the data centers also operate at this enormous scale, so the unit cost goes massively down, and it becomes very cheap for you to use. And that's the mobility and the cost factors are the real business sellers of the cloud, yeah, and the convenience from the consumer side. But the downside is that once you have 1 million, 10 million people's personal photographs stored in one big, vast data warehouse, that becomes an extremely attractive target. You know, it's like the old bank robber thing. You know, why do you rob the banks? Because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Why are people trying to hack into these places? Because that's where everyone's data is. And although the big companies, I mean, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon for business users and others, you know, have the scale, so therefore they can afford to have an extremely good security team. Mm. The security team still has to get everything right all the time, whereas the bad guys trying to break in only have to find the one thing that the security team forgot.
Can we take a step back from the precise detail of this case and talk about how much of our data, especially if you're an iPhone user, finds its way onto the cloud? Because I'm sure there are people pushing things like sync with the cloud that comes up as an option every so often and doing business like that without entirely knowing what's going on. Routinely speaking, how much of what we use and do is ending up being hosted on some server elsewhere?
Look, it varies a bit depending on which particular system you use, whether Apple's or Google's Android or so on. But primarily, you're looking at the contents of your address book. So everyone who you know, their email address, their phone number, their addresses, all of your photographs, all of your email, all of the appointments in your calendar, which then, you know, and then any other data you might care to add to that. Now, not everything's turned on by default, but then not everyone goes through and checks these things either. So it's really a huge trove of information about your private life. And while you might think of some things as particularly private, like your new photographs in this case, yeah, I mean, it can go to more than that. It's you know, who do you know, who you don't know, who have you met recently, who have you made calls, well, who you made calls to would be recorded. But essentially that the nuts and bolts of your life, basically. And photographs, of course, do have well, more personal nature for most people than anything else, because even if you don't think it's something a little bit risque like you know, nude photographs or something sexual in nature, you might just have private photos of your kids that you just don't want the world to see.
A lot of people, when they hear these sorts of stories, the basic sort of human instinct is to say, well, stuff it, I'm not going to have any part of this. Is there a way I can turn off or I can totally disengage from the idea of remotely storing data or clouds or any of this business? Is it as easy as doing that these days? I mean, or are you going to find very quickly that you run out of space and you're not going to be able to do some basic things?
Look, it's not that you run out of space, because your local storage on your computer or on your phone is generally going to be more than what you have out in the cloud, and it takes a long time to transfer a lot of data out there anyway.
Right.
But it's more that it's just assumed for so many of the modern functions of our smart devices that they have access to this shared storage. So if you do have both a phone and a computer, which is the common combination now, do you really want to be manually typing everyone's name and email address in both devices? You know, I phoned that person on the phone, and I made a note. Now I haven't got that on my computer.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the whole point of having the smartphone is that it's got your calendar and your address book and all of your notes and stuff that you're meant to be working on without having to take your computer around. So it's kind of a goes with thing. It's a bit like, I think it's a bit like we all like the convenience of the car, but the price that we pay for that is they occasionally crash into each other.
Mm.
You can hear me hesitating here because it is that balance of a risk thing. I remember when the cloud was first, you know, coming out, a lot of business owners would say, "Oh, well, I my data is important to my business, and it's here in my office where it's secure." It's like, no, you know, no, mate, you can never secure your computer as well as the professionals in these big data centers.
Well, that's an important point then. Because Apple will cop flak about this, and I've seen that they've launched an investigation, but that's an important point to make. Them having been breached is still a safer solution than you storing it on your own computer.
That's right. But the thing that happens in a new sense, if you like, is that 10 years ago, there would be constant low-level hacks of this business or that business, and they'd spend a couple of grand cleaning up the mess, and they'd grumble a bit. But it was a scattering of isolated cases that never joined up to create a big picture thing. So we didn't realize it was happening. Now, the hacks, if you like, are much fewer in number against these big organizations. But when they do happen, they go spectacularly wrong because it's the sheer scale of it. So, you know, you're trading one for the other. And certainly when you have a large number of people's photographs being released and they're all famous, it really focuses the attention. But, you know, this is the downside of it all. Apple may well have made a mistake in this. And I should say one of the reasons that people are thinking it might have been specifically at Apple's is that a security researcher released a tool only some days ago that had, they discovered a problem with Apple's iCloud storage, the security of it, and they'd written a tool to automatically exploit that vulnerability. And the problem was an interesting one, and it comes back to this question of password security all the time. All the time. Everything always comes back to passwords. Yeah. But when you get a password wrong, you're not let in. Okay, you have another go, you get in. What if someone's trying to guess your password and they're trying over and over again? That's called a brute force attack, and there are tools for automatically trying hundreds, thousands of passwords in an automated attack.
Mm.
Now, most standard practice in online systems that once someone's got the password wrong more than a few times in a row, you lock them out. You go, no, that's just wrong. Well, it appears that for at least part of Apple's iCloud service, they did not have any protection against these kind of brute force password guessing attacks.
Oh, right.
So someone released a tool which automatically went through a list. There's a list of, I forget its name now, but it's the 500 most common passwords. And they're obviously, you know, password, 123456, all of those. Well, all of those ones that you're told never to have, but so many people use them, and it does work. You can break into accounts. So maybe that's it. Apple's policy is that they don't talk about any security issue until they've both confirmed that it was the case and they've fixed it. So maybe we'll find something out about this soon.
Seems like a fair joining of the dots to me. Stu Guerin, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, Will.
That's our IT commentator, Stu Guerin, on this massive celebrity hack that you've heard about right across the day here on 5AA, and no doubt been confronted with on social media, on the internet, and just about in every other form of media that you digest over the course of the day. Huge names involved, illicit pictures that have been distributed, people like Jennifer Lawrence, I mentioned, the wonderful young actress in Hollywood, and others of that ilk, young females in Hollywood.